it all happened over a course of just 2 years. It was really fast. So.
Wow. How old were you at this point?
I was 19 when we found out.
Welcome to Made Us. I am your host, Zach Weaver. So this is the fifth episode that I'm recording from my makeshift Scentsy studio. I'll tell you what, I cannot wait to get back in NBI Studios. It's been a pleasure recording at home, but it'll be nice to get back in the real studio. So joining me this week is brewer Steve Murray. Steve had a long path ahead of him to get to where he is today, being the head brewer at Burnham Brewing. His journey led him down one path after two catastrophic incidences happening in a very short period of time. It flipped his world upside down and led him on a new path. And that's exactly what we're here to talk about this week. Today's episode had moments that I did not expect, and honestly, I didn't even know how to handle them. Steve's story is a humbling one, and one that'll make you hug your loved ones. So if you like this episode of Made Us, or any episode of Made Us, go on to Apple Podcasts, leave us a 5-star rate and review, and let us know how we're doing. Also, make sure to share the show with a friend. Sharing the show with a friend really helps this show grow. And between episodes, if you want to keep up with us on social media, you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/madeuspodcast or on Instagram and Twitter at madeuspodcast. And if you have a guest suggestion or any comments, you're welcome to send us an email at madeuspodcast@hotmail.com. So like I said at the top of this, Steve's story's really got some twists and turns, but it's all about getting past every one of the hurdles that life can throw at you, no matter how drastic. So I really need to thank Steve again for being as open as he was in this episode. He talked about some really hard things, some things that I don't know that I'd have the ability to talk about if I were him. But I'm really happy he opened up and we talked about them. So I won't go any further. But here's my conversation with Steve Murray.
We got a rapper at the brewery tonight.
A rapper?
Yeah, hip-hop night.
Hip-hop night at the brewery.
Yep.
That sounds pretty interesting. Who is it?
Have you ever heard of band Midwest Hype? They're from, like, northern Indiana area.
I do feel like I've heard of them.
They've been around for a long time, but they've got a rapper in their group.
Okay.
Like, that little MC comes on, like, only on a few songs and stuff, but then he just put out a solo album. So
nice.
We do the vinyl nights every Tuesday, which we have live acoustic act after each one.
Okay.
But we only do the live at music portion of it May through September every Tuesday.
Okay.
And then just vinyl night the rest of this one. So we have a guy that spins vinyl for us there at the brewery.
That's pretty interesting.
And so people bring their own in. He has boxes that you can pick through and stuff
too. Yeah.
But then, so we do usually once every year we get a guy that does like hip hop.
Fuck yeah. That's cool.
Yeah.
Nice. So, Steve, thanks for joining me tonight, man.
Yeah, no, happy to be here.
Yeah, I'm stoked you're here. We've been trying to do this for a while now. We finally got around to hooking up and making it work.
Yeah, it's finally a season's calming down.
Yeah, you're a busy guy.
Yeah, it doesn't seem to stop.
You are a busy guy. So, I know this, but you are a brewer.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, let's tell listeners a little bit about yourself here.
Oh, my name is Steve Murray. I'm from Northwest Indiana. Originally born in Chicago, but that didn't last long. And I make beer for a living. I'm part owner and the head brewer at Burnham Brewing in Michigan City, Indiana.
Nice. That's an interesting field to get into.
Yeah, it was kind of surreal. It still is. I mean,
yeah. What led you into brewing?
Home brewing was a thing and was like really what led me into it. But it was like my dad and it was actually my sister's not boyfriend anymore, but boyfriend at the time back in college. They kind of got into home brewing together.
Okay.
Like, talking about it.
My dad's done some weird home brewing shit. I want to say he's made like a beer at one point. He made some wine at one point. He made like dandelion wine.
Oh, yeah.
Which was super fucking weird.
I've made a beer with dandelion before.
Really?
It takes a long time to pick them all. But.
Yeah, it seems weird. Like, yeah, he made a dandelion wine and it was... It was different for sure.
It's got a like herbal flavor. It's not like it doesn't have like much of a flavor though.
Yeah.
But it actually does have like a yellow dye, like a natural yellow dye built into it.
That's kind of weird. Yeah, that's cool. A kind of weird thing. He's also dabbled in some liquors,
He does some weird homebrew. My dad gets these, not to go off on a super tangent here, but my dad gets these weird schemes, and I don't know where, but all of a sudden, like I said, he gets homebrewing and he starts doing this, and then that's over, and then he's like, I'm gonna make wine, and then that lasts a month, and he's like, I'm gonna make some liquor, and that lasts a month, and
definitely a similar way, but you know, starting hobbies and doing them for an extent, and then
yeah,
switching gears on something new. But I mean, brewing stuck, but that's because there's a broad spectrum of like different things you can do in the brewing world.
Yeah.
No, yeah, like I was about 17 years old, roughly, like right before or just finishing high school, so 17, 18, and my dad was getting into homebrewing with my sister's ex or boyfriend at the time, and we would me and my brother would sit in on it too, so we could go to the homebrew store. Couldn't go to the liquor store, but you know, we're going out to the homebrew store, picking out ingredients and getting the kits at first just to try out some stuff. And we made a couple decent things, but we pretty much made a bunch of shit and
yeah,
and a lot of drain pour.
Yeah, I can imagine that's a lot how that would lead to just like, let's see what this does. Yeah. Oh, that's not good.
And you know, figuring out like cleanliness is what you had to really be good with to make good beer.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah, sanitation was big.
Yeah, I guess I wouldn't think about that, but that makes perfect sense. I don't know why I wouldn't think about that, but that does make perfect sense that you like.
We're saving all our beer bottles, and you know, like from like parties we're going to, my dad's saving all his. My sister's boyfriend time, like he was in college, like so they're saving all their bottles and
yeah,
you know, wash them in the bathtub, trying to get labels off and
stuff nice, like that, so. Just filling them up with your homebrew.
Yeah, and so we made some bad stuff. When I went off to college, you know, we didn't really do it too much, and then yeah, this is kind of stemmed from there. Well, we kind of got back into it later in life.
Yeah, where'd you go to school for?
I was going for Bachelor of Fine Arts with like a focus on sculpture.
Okay. So not shit to do with what you do.
Nope. So yeah, my whole plan was going to be, I've always kind of done a lot of, I've always been into art. I've always been painting, sculpting,
okay,
playing with clay as much as I can. I took as many art classes in high school and then obviously got into it in college. And then, I mean, my plan was like to become a teacher if I just couldn't sell my art. So.
Yeah.
But, and then I've always been into music too. So playing music on the side, and that was kind of
that's awesome.
My plan in life at first.
So you're kind of a creative dude.
Yeah, I would say so, I guess.
Yeah, I would say so too. Knowing you, knowing the what I know about you, you're a creative dude, whether you like to admit it or not. I mean,
no, I definitely, I'll admit that.
Yeah. And you do some crazy stuff. You do some weird gardening and some, like, I don't know. I know that's not weird because to you, it's not weird.
Oh, yeah,
to me, I'm some fuck in the city that doesn't do anything. But I'm like, I buy my vegetables at the store.
Yeah, yeah. I like to garden. I like to grow a lot of different vegetables. I cut down a lot this year, but yeah, past couple of years I experiment with different stuff that we don't usually grow around here too. And
yeah,
I mean, okra is pretty familiar for a lot of people.
Yeah,
like, dabbled in that, like kohlrabi, different types of beets and stuff. All, you know, as many different colors as you really can get.
So. Yeah, that's cool. I know you showed me a lot of stuff you did, and right. I didn't know a lot of that shit came in the colors that came.
Right.
Yeah, as ignorant as that sounds by me, but like I didn't know some of that, those vegetables came the way they did.
And that's kind of always been like taught in cooking too. It's just like when you're cooking, if you've got all the different colors like in your dish, then
yeah,
most of the time it's going to taste good.
Yeah. Well, what do they say? You eat with your eyes first.
Exactly.
So yeah, it makes sense that you want something bright. Yeah. I'm just an idiot when it comes to that stuff.
And it's always just gardening leads to fermenting different vegetables and making hot sauces and like fermenting hot sauces. So we do, I've got jars of little like fermented food projects going on at home.
Nice.
All over the counters.
My yeah.
wife loves it.
I can imagine your wife's going to kill you about that stuff.
Yeah. No.
Well, yeah.
When they sit, some sit for a year. So
a year?
I mean, they're not supposed to. Some like get forgotten.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, holy shit, a year?
They can go for a year. It's not going to hurt them if they do fine.
Whoa. That's crazy to sit for a year.
Yeah, they get funky. I just bottled a couple days ago a like 3-month-old hot sauce that was like, it's a mixture of carrots and garlic in the base, but then like habaneros for heat, and then a couple of different types of peppers too for flavor, and then a bunch of strawberries in this one. It's like first time I did a fruit hot sauce.
Really? Dude, that sounds good.
I'll bring you a bottle in
yeah
soon.
Yeah. Dude, that sounds good. I'm all about some hot sauce.
Yeah, early October I think we got.
Nice. Yeah, we're some hot sauce idiots, so
I love them, man. It's fun. You get to get different, all different flavors, especially the longer you let it sit and stuff too. So
yeah,
if you do multiple jars, let one sit a little longer and
oh, kind of see the difference in them.
Yeah, because they change, and it's like some of the similar bacteria that's in making sour beer, which is down a different rabbit hole of brewing, but it's like traditional like Belgian style like of brewing to make you know, beer that tastes really sour.
Okay.
And you're using like a lactobacillus bacteria strain, which is always typically found in like yogurts and sourdough bread and stuff, which is, you know, there's hundreds of types of,
yeah,
of different lactobacillus, but yeah, you're using a similar strain for making these fermented foods that you are doing.
Are you pretty self-taught on this stuff?
Yeah, pretty much.
Because I know you are very knowledgeable on this stuff, but it definitely seems like you're a very self-taught person.
Yeah, it's, you know, and luckily I grew up with the internet. And
well, that's true. That does help a lot.
Yeah, helped out a lot. It's like that generation that we learned to use the internet as it was built.
you can Google anything you want.
Yeah, but I mean, knowing what I know now, I would have paid attention a lot more in high school, like chemistry class and biology. But.
That's awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think a lot of us wish we paid attention more in school. That's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, if you ever told me that I would be using this chemistry later to make beer, and yeah, it's something you don't know is going
to
happen.
So. No, that's true. So you're off at you went off to school to kind of do something else.
So I was going to school only 45 minutes from home, so not too bad.
Yeah.
It kind of all started, like, my mom was diagnosed with cancer, and it was a pretty fast-acting cancer. So,
oh, really?
Yeah, so.
What was it?
I honestly don't remember the name.
Okay.
It's one of those.
Yeah, there's a million of them.
Yeah.
Do you know what it affected?
Started in her uterus.
Okay.
So she got full hysterectomy, did chemotherapy and stuff, and then, you know, everything was good for a little bit, and then showed up in the lung. So remove half a lung, same routine. Everything's looking okay, but still, then it started showing up in like places you can't remove, like the abdomen walls and stuff. So it was kind of.
Holy shit, man.
Yeah. So it all happened over a course of just 2 years. It was really fast. So.
Wow. How old were you at this point?
I was 19 when we found out. So.
Wow. That sucks. I mean, that's obviously being your parent, that's hard to deal with. And then you're at an age like 19 where you're mature-ish.
Yeah.
But you're still
trying to be.
You're still trying to figure life out. And then you have to deal with a situation like this.
Oh, yeah. It was, you know, definitely a turning point. But, you know. Still going to school, you know, working, trying to go to school, you know, pay for school and stuff.
Yeah.
Most people our age do nowadays, and, you know, or at least pay off our student loans.
Is that what eventually kind of pulled you from school, or?
I mean, I was liking school, but I was doing it slowly.
Yeah.
I was working more just to try to save money. And so I was taking a few classes at a time. I wasn't really
going full time.
At first, I was going full time the first like 2 years, but I started to drift a little bit, and then. Yeah, so when I was 21, we lost my mom in 2010. So.
Oh, that's... Yes. I'm sorry to hear that, man. That is rough.
So it was rough, and yeah, I have a twin brother, and then I've got an older sister, so that's
okay.
Three siblings. And then my dad, too.
Yeah.
And my dad and my mom married 25 years, or just over, after she passed, or when she passed, so...
Oh, man, that is really rough. Yeah. I say just, but it's been a few years now, but... It still feels like we just lost my mother-in-law, my wife's mother, to cancer.
Yep.
And it just never feels better. It never gets better.
Yeah, you know? It's never easy. It's, you know, it'll never be better, but it's,
yeah.
You learn to
cope with it.
Yeah, you learn to deal with it.
Yeah. I don't remember who said it, but I want to say that I've heard that people say that before. They said it never actually gets easier. You know, some people will say it gets easier, but it never gets easier.
Yeah, but it's happened. It's been almost 10 years now, and it's, you know, I'll talk to people who, like some of my friends that have recently lost a parent and stuff like that, and it's like, sorry, I don't really have much advice. Like, it's,
yeah,
you got friends for a reason. You got family, other family for a reason. So.
Yeah, lean on them if you can.
Yep.
For sure.
So yeah, then, you know, my dad took it really hard. After my mom died, you know, we was all just kind of moving along. It was really tough on my dad since we all just moved out of our house. Like, my brother and I were living in South Bend together because he was going to school, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he went to Ivy Tech for culinary out there.
So, basically, your father went from, like, a full household to nothing.
Yeah, to just him and the dog, basically, because my sister was doing law school out in D.C. at the time, too. So.
Holy shit. Man, that's got
to
be rough.
Yeah, so she wanted to come home, and it was like, no. So, you know, not going to let you do that because she was... doing much better in school than I was. I was going home, helped my dad clean the house. Cause we have a big farmhouse and stuff out in LaPorte.
Yeah.
So yeah, no, it was a good rough year there, but we ended up, it was, you know, over in that year time, my brother, my dad and I all took a trip out to Austria with some good friends of mine, one of my business partners in the brewery.
Oh, really?
Yeah, his dad is from Austria, so.
Okay.
He owns a little restaurant in New Carlisle called Mosier's Austrian Cafe, so.
Oh, nice. That's awesome. Authentic
German food and stuff, so. Yeah, he organized this big trip, so like 30-something people went.
Austria seems like a pretty sweet place to go to.
It was, I mean, it was my first time going like overseas. I've been like, I went out of the country for like Mexico and stuff.
Yeah. That doesn't count.
Yeah. No, Mexico and Jamaica.
That's like for the longest time.
It's on a cruise.
For the longest time, people would ask me, like, you ever been out of the country? I'm like, I've been to Canada. And they're like, that doesn't count. It's
technically the same continent.
Yeah. That's just a wider United States.
Yeah. And so like Austria was just beautiful, amazing. We went to breweries out there, which
are breweries. That's like real shit there.
Oh, yeah. Real shit. Like, you know, been around since 1800s or more.
Wow.
Some of them. Yeah, no, I was like, but actually the brewery wasn't even really a plan yet. So that was like kind of the funny part. Like if I knew what I know about brewing when I went there, it would have been, you know, I'm standing next to these big vats.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what these do.
Yeah.
We were homebrewing at the time, but like our glass cardboard had no translation to what these could be.
Yeah. It's funny you say that because you could definitely look back and you're like, damn it. I wish I'd have paid attention. Damn it.
Oh, yeah.
I wish I'd have asked some questions.
Yeah, I know. But at the same time, like, I couldn't really talk to him either. Couldn't speak.
Oh, that's true.
We were learning a little bits here and there from, like, our buddy's dad was a tour guide, and my buddy knew a little bit about it.
But yeah.
At the same time, he could get by.
Yeah.
We had a couple people around that
spoke Austria, a little German. Sounds like a lot of fun.
And their German isn't like full on German. It's German, but it's like
it's still got their own little.
Yeah, like they were telling us, like it's like the dirty south, like of German. So it's like they use different slang and stuff too. That
yeah,
you know, there's words that don't exist in German exist in the Austrian
language. That makes sense. It's just like anywhere. That makes sense.
So we spent 2 weeks there. We spent the first year of or the first like the year anniversary of my mom's passing there. Like so, my dad, my brother, and I all were down there.
Oh wow!
So it was a good time. Seemed to help out for a while, but
yeah, that does seem to at least get your mind off it a little bit.
Yeah. After that, I was, it was like summertime roughly. So I was, not going to school really anymore. I was kind of going like once a week, but I was cutting back drastically because I was kind of going back and helping my dad with stuff at the house and still working a lot and started bartending. So I was working late nights and making good money.
Yeah.
Right in Notre Dame area. So, yeah, it was nice. But,
The Notre Dame area. I worked there for a while. I'm glad I got away from that shit.
Yeah, some of those nights during game days were...
It's a mess. Yeah. It's a huge mess.
They were fun, but I'd walk out with a fat wallet. Yeah, it kind of all kind of went shit after that summer. Like, we lost my dad suddenly. So a couple months after we got back from Austria.
Holy shit, man.
Yeah, so it was... You know, he was really tore up about it. My brother and I, and one of my other business partners in Burnham, one of my good friends, Howie, we've always been in a band together since high school. And
okay.
So we were playing out a lot at this time, too. So we were going to show or playing all over Michigan City, South Bend, Southern Michigan area and stuff, too. But yeah, we were, my dad was doing a lot of drinking. We all kind of were. So yeah, we had a show that night and he was at the show. And then, like, I was following him home. And yeah, he had a car accident. And
Holy shit. See, I can't even fathom that right now.
Yeah, it was.
You were there.
Yeah, so I was there.
Was your brother there with you or was it just you?
Yeah, I was there with a couple friends that were like following me because we were all heading back to South Bend. We were still living in South Bend at the time. So I was going to be heading back there after we dropped all the music equipment off at my dad's house because that's where we still did band practice and everything.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was a... my brother wasn't with me. He was with someone else. Like, they weren't too far away, so...
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Wow. Man, that... I can't even fathom that right now. To have to witness that.
Yeah, it was, you know... It was, like, total different shock from, you know, watching, like, my mother... over time, like
she declined over time, at least, even though it was quickly. I mean, it was still, you had that
still had
that time to kind of prepare yourself,
and it's like kind of it was, I mean, obviously unexpected. It was a pretty fucked up time.
So I would imagine your life kind of spiraled out of control at that point, right?
So yeah, basically that next morning because it happened at like 2 a.m. next day, I guess. It was a blurry while, but in the gist of it, like I moved back home to my dad's house. My brother did too. And actually we had a big 4-bedroom house. A couple friends moved into.
Yeah.
My dad had a construction company out of Michigan City.
Okay.
Building custom homes all over. And we had 4 open jobs going on at the time. And I used to work for my dad like right after high school, in high school periodically all the time. So I always worked for him.
Yeah.
But, while I was going to college, because I didn't want to do construction. Yeah, so me and my brother basically took over the construction company right away, but not with the intention of really keeping it going. It wasn't.
Yeah, just trying to finish what was going.
Yeah, which luckily we had help from a lot of my dad's friends in the area that were contractors, and
yeah,
he had a big group of people that he knew and that were part of it and stuff. So,
holy shit.
Yeah, we had $1 million remodel of like this big mansion house in like Union Pier, and it's like, all right, I've been like a laborer on these jobs when I was a kid, but now I got to do like spreadsheets, and because we were GCs, the general contractors, so we have all these subs that
Now
I've got to get money from the architect who gets money from the client, which I've got to get approvals for. Which my dad was so my mom and my dad started the company together back in the early 90s. So my mom ran the books; she was the secretary, you paid everybody.
Yeah,
while my dad was on the job sites doing work and organizing. We had a few employees at the height of it in the 90s, but pretty much at this time, after my mom passed and stuff, my dad got like a bookkeeper to come in periodically, but he was doing a lot himself. So books were a mess. Everything was just, a mess.
Holy shit. Yeah, to try to pick up pieces, especially after such a tragic event that you just...
Honestly, it was probably the best thing for me, was like,
really,
to have this distraction.
Yeah.
It was a big one to do. So,
yeah, I can't imagine. Oh man, dude, I can't even, I have a million thoughts running through my mind right now. And to just be sitting across from you and talking about it, like you having to witness that.
Yeah, it was,
it's tough.
I mean, total life changer. I honestly don't remember like what I was like before that.
Yeah.
It was just, I remember my childhood, I have memories of but it was just like wipe, new, clean slate, new person.
So once you guys decided to take over your dad's company, where did that lead you?
So it took a good few months. There was one of the jobs was like just paperwork finished. It was like done.
Yeah.
Got that finished. A couple of the big open ones. We finished to kind of help this other GC that we were friends with came in and helped us finish the last two, essentially. Well, helped us finish one, and then we handed the other one off to him
completely. Okay.
Yeah, so kind of did that. Started just cleaning out the building that was like the office, and the back was like all lumber storage and
a
little conference room and shit like that. It was a small like little building, which actually I'll get into, but that's kind of what became Burnham.
Really? Yeah. So after you kind of did this, and did you kind of phase that out then?
So yeah, we put a for sale sign on the building after a little time, cleaned it up. My sister was the biggest help. She's been like there for everything.
Yeah.
She's older than us, so she's always been our big sis, but she was going to law school in DC. She wanted to quit law school and move home after my dad passed. And she came home for a good it was summertime, so luckily she didn't have like class at the time, so she got to get off work and come home for like the whole summer and help us deal with this shit. But then, I was like, no, you got to go back to school.
So, yeah.
Yeah, sent her back, but she always had a hand in fixing it all up and stuff. Yeah, and then, we still had grandparents and everything around too. But yeah, it was kind of, where were we?
after, kind of. Dissolving that company and moving forth. Well, I guess if you dissolved it, I don't know if you did or not, but
yeah, well, actually the company still exists to this day. It owns the building.
Okay.
That Burnham rents from.
So, okay.
We put the building up for sale for a while. I had a period of my life that was a bit too much partying and just being fucked up all the time, which
Well, you're at that.
Yeah, I'm not.
You're at that
blaming
age.
Blaming myself by any means for it.
You're at that age where that is, I don't want to say acceptable, but that is a...
Yeah, and that was like,
That's a thing,
It's definitely a thing, but it was that amplified by yeah, quite a bit.
With everything else going on.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can imagine that that gets out of hand pretty quickly for you.
Yeah.
Or anybody in that matter.
Yeah, I didn't really have a job because, you know, I was paying myself to work in construction.
Yeah.
So we were the boss of that company. But at the same time, yeah, it was a little bit of a shit show and kind of a blur for basic, because that was 21, lost my mom, 22, lost my dad. So basically 22 to 25, I don't really remember.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember pieces.
Just kind of partied too much.
Yeah, a bit too much of certain things.
But you know what? I mean, I'm not saying it's okay.
Yeah.
I'm not telling anybody it's okay.
No.
But
it could have went.
You understand where it comes from. So many people would understand why that happened, yeah. You know, more so than just like Joe Schmo, you know.
And it could have went worse than we let it, I guess. But we kind of got saved, I guess, by, I mean, I wouldn't call it saved, but it was, you know, we got out of that funk of just partying all the time.
And yeah.
Like, by really starting to build this company, which really just started off of home brewing as a hobby, really.
Yeah.
The brewery craze was just getting going, just blossoming with, like, new breweries popping up. You know, there's a couple that have been around for a long time, but one in particular was got Greenbush Brewing over in Sawyer.
Yeah.
So, ran to them at a liquor store doing a tasting.
Okay.
In South Bend, Indiana. So, they were just, like, testing beer
out.
They
were kind of the ones that were the big crazer. I mean, they were the ones that led that charge in our area.
It's, in this corner, yeah.
At least it seems like it to me. I mean, you know more than I do, but
I mean, they really
were in this corner of the state, yeah, it seems like they were the ones that led the charge to be, like, when they came in, there wasn't any breweries.
Yeah, I mean, like, if you go to Kalamazoo and stuff, like, mm-hmm. that far out, but, like, yeah, in this small corner, there wasn't. Like, Michigan City's had one since, like, since mid-90s.
Yeah.
Shoreline Brewing's, they've been there for a long time, and, like, Floyd's and stuff, but they were all in their early stages and still they weren't much. And yeah, just like seeing that, like where we tasted their beers, figured out like, oh, you're in Sawyer. That's like 25 minutes from my house.
Yeah.
So we started going on their Mug Club Mondays when it was just like the 10 seat bar, like the tiny little tap room.
Yep.
And they had like two bartenders of the same, like the owners were there bartending too occasionally, but like they had two bartenders really that we saw working. So I was like, man, and I wasn't working at this time anymore. We just finished closing up the business. We were partying a lot still. Yeah, I was just looking for a job actually at this point now. I was like kind of needing to occupy my time,
yeah.
You know, instead of just getting wasted all the time. And yeah, I applied for a job at Greenbush for bartending. They kind of got us into homebrewing again, though, like just seeing what they were doing. Like we brushed all this old equipment out of my basement, cleaned it up.
Yeah.
Went to the homebrew store and started buying grain and kits. And yeah, we had a couple kits that were like okay at first.
So they just hired you as a bartender.
Yeah, just as a bartender.
And you just kind of found that love again?
Yeah, like, well, we were started homebrewing just because, like, me and a couple group of friends, which are the core owners of Burnham, like, we all started going to Greenbush and drinking and, like, oh, this is cool. We should start homebrewing again. So then we started homebrewing while, you know, around that same time. Yeah. And I got the job there. My brother got a job in the kitchen at the exact same time. So we both got hired. But then, yeah, I was bringing in our homebrews that we were making.
Okay.
So then I was bartending like a Sunday night, and it was after, you know, bringing in homebrews for a little while. And the owner pulled up in front of the building. It's like, he usually comes through the back, and he had like a car full of his kids and everything, and like comes through the front door, and he was just like, he's like, hey, do you want to learn how to brew and start brewing here? Yeah. He's like, cool, 6 a.m. tomorrow.
I was
like,
nice.
Oh, great. Yeah. Closing shift. But I was ecstatic. So I looked, went home. And
you know, it's funny you say that because I had a very similar, mine wasn't obviously brewing, but I had a very similar circumstance like that when I started tattooing.
Yeah.
I was getting tattooed by a guy and I was taking my drawings in and whatever, like kind of trying to get just input. And he basically did exactly that. He says, you want to learn how to tattoo? I'm like, hell yes, I do.
Yeah.
He goes, so at the time they were closed Sunday, Monday, but this was like a Saturday. And he goes, sweet, you start Tuesday, bring someone with you, you're tattooing Tuesday. Yeah. Like, shit.
No better way to learn than get thrown into the fire.
Yeah.
Actually, it's funny. I was tattooing for a little bit.
Oh, nice.
I didn't feel comfortable doing that.
But like, it's a rough thing.
Yeah. Like the guy who like originally my first tattoo and did like this leg was, you know, I'm like, yeah, of course you could do it. Like, you know, it's just like drawing with a pen.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay. So I bought fake skin and I bought a kit online and shit and started doing it. And you know, I had all the clean needles in their separate packaging.
Yeah.
And I was living in South Bend. My roommate at the time Ryan Dunn from Jackass just passed away, and we were all big Jackass fans. So he comes home from work. He's like, "You ready to do your first tattoo?" And I was like, "No." He's like, "Well, Ryan Dunn just died." He's like, let's do it." And he printed off a skull and the skull and cross crutches.
Yeah.
So I did that right on his top of his thigh first.
Holy shit, man.
And it wasn't bad. It's a little, lines weren't, they're not solid.
Yeah, little janky. It happens. Yeah. You got to learn somewhere.
Yeah, so I ended up doing probably like 50 of them, but it was just like one of those things where I was just doing too many hobbies, playing guitar, learning other new instruments at the same time.
And tattooing.
Tattooing, different art at the same time. Mm-hmm. I had to take a break. Yeah. Started brewing at Greenbush, and it was a good year of that, and it was just like fun. We were just brewing doing our home brews.
Yeah,
we got out of kits and started writing recipes once I started naming them, thinking of a brewery name. It was just like our little homebrew club that there's like five or six of us that were really doing it all the time.
Where'd you come up with Burnham?
So Burnham is my dad's middle name, but Burn H-A-M, like Burnham, like the architect.
Okay.
Yeah, that was my dad's middle name. So I think Danny, my one friend that's one of our business partners, he actually thought of it. We were trying to think of a name for the brewery.
Yeah.
And we had all these different crazy ones and stuff, and he came up with that. But he's like, Burnham. I was like, it's perfect.
that's a sweet way to do it. Yeah,
It makes it ours.
Yeah.
At the same time of honoring my dad and where I first learned to homebrew with.
Cool, man. That's really cool.
And then, we had the building up for sale. That was my dad's construction company, and we ended up taking it off the market.
Really?
I called my sister, told her that we wanted to start a brewery there.
You built the brewery in the same unit that your dad's construction company was in?
Yep. It's where it's still at today. So,
dude, that's fucking awesome.
Yeah. So if you're ever in the brewery, the tap room, right when you walk in the door, which we had to closed off the original door and had to put a new one out front, redo the front of the building and stuff, make it nice. Where the windowsill bar was my grandpa's desk, because my grandpa and my dad started the company together. My grandpa retired in '98, I think, but he was an architect, so that was his drafting table was there.
That's really cool.
My dad built the houses, so his desk is right where the counter is, and then back where the taps are was my mom's corner.
That's really cool.
Yeah. So then
that's a sweet way to have a memory of that too.
Yeah. So that's the tap room. So it's really crazy. I haven't had the moment to sit back and absorb it like I have when we first opened and stuff. But it's always been crazy, just full tap room of people and having flashbacks to being a kid and running around.
Yeah. In there.
Yeah. It's nuts.
It is funny you say that because I have very similar memories. Not obviously mine's a little different, but I grew up in St. Joe, which is where my shop is now.
Right
and
downtown.
I grew up riding bikes and skateboards and being yelled at by shop owners for riding bikes and skateboards down there.
Oh, yeah.
And now I'm that guy. You know what I mean? Now I'm a business owner, it is weird to have those memories of I was there one time.
Yeah, it's growing up.
Dude, you should. So in the brewery, you should name those spots.
Right.
You know what I mean? That's the whatever table, or that's the,
it's cool too. And there's spots out in the driveway where my dad had to rip up concrete to fix a drain out in the driveway area, which is our patio now.
Okay.
Well, half the driveway is a double wide. We ended up splitting it, and half of it's the patio to the building.
Okay.
There's a spot where he did that, and he him and my mom's initials are in a heart with 08 there.
Dude, that's awesome.
And, there's shit like that. And then MCA is carved into something, which Michigan City Associates was the name of my dad's company.
Okay.
So MCA is what we always called it. So everybody confuses it with the Beastie Boy, Adam Yauch. But we have one of our IPAs is MCA IPA.
Nice.
That's one of our tributes.
Dude, that's awesome. That's such a sweet way to be able to, you're honoring them without even really, it just fell into place to be able to honor them like that.
Yeah. The way the brewery kind of got started too was, as I was brewing at Greenbush, they were upgrading to, after about a year of being there, they were upgrading to a bigger brew system. And we had the idea that we wanted to start our own. Scott's story at Greenbush was really inspiring. So, he was a construction worker that started this thing up when he broke his hand of his homebrew. And so I was like, we could do this one day, but wasn't going to be a plan for a while until they were upgrading and really offered us the used equipment that they had. So their old original brew system, my brother and I ended up buying it all and putting it in storage right away.
That's awesome.
So we were planning on doing this down the road a little bit, but that kind of jump started it once we bought some equipment. well, we need to find a place. Like, I was writing a business plan, and
this shit's getting real now.
Yeah, one of my other friends that's one of our business partners too, because there's seven of us in Burnham, which is a little crazy. But yeah, well, he was coming by when I was working night shifts brewing at Greenbush. I was brewing from 8 at night till like 5 in the morning.
Holy shit, man.
Alone there at night, which was like, it was eerie and weird.
Yeah.
Like, just blast some metal and be fine. Lock all the doors. And
wow. Does it take that long to brew? I mean, I don't know anything about the brewing process.
Well, we were keeping the machine running like 24/7, 5 days a week.
Holy shit.
24/5.
24/5, yeah.
So I was doing it takes about 7 to 8 hours to brew one batch of beer.
Okay.
So on the system that we had there, at least. So I was brewing about a batch and a half. Like kind of overlapping them, and then a guy would come in and take over. I'd go home.
Wow.
Come back again the next night. So
what's a batch like that volume wise?
When we were doing that, it was 250 gallons. So then they upgraded to a 500 gallon system, so double the size.
Okay.
And they had added a lot more tanks and stuff like that too.
250 gallons seems like a lot.
Yeah. So that's what we're still currently on. We've upgraded our system a little bit, but we're still roughly on the same stuff I bought from Greenbush. I still got the same walk-in cooler I bought from Greenbush.
Like, that's cool.
So we put it in storage, and then we're like looking for a building. And kind of the building we're in was not meant to be a brewery.
Yeah.
If you ever come check it out, it's just, it looks like a house when you pull up.
Okay.
So everybody doesn't even think it's like a business that they can come to.
Yeah.
You know, minus the sign that says Burnham on the front. And so, yeah, it's just... You know, we never thought it would be one or could be one. And then, like, I don't know, remember the exact moment when it hit me, but it was like, well, we have this building. Like, why not do it here?
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
Yeah. So we started gutting it and called my sister, told her we'd take it off the market. We're not going to sell it. We want to do this. Yeah.
That's sweet. I love the little weird things that happen like that too. And especially businesses that look like that. Like you said, it doesn't look like what it should look like. Like, it's like a weird house look, you know?
Yeah. It's
that's cool.
It's pretty fun, man.
You know, I know, obviously, I'm going to say this, and I'm not going to say any names or anything, but, you know, there's a brewery around here that's like in an old church.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that shit's weird and cool.
It's really cool, yeah, right?
Like, you wouldn't expect it, but it's just like, all right, like, I like the weirdness.
Yeah, there's one up in Grand Rapids it's in an old church, but it was actually a funeral home for a stint, and like...
Oh, shit.
It's cool as shit.
There is downtown St. Joe, Michigan.
Yeah.
There is an old funeral home that they turned into condos. I want to go see it so bad.
Who's got the basement one, right?
I know. It looks so... the way that... I mean, the building still looks like the original funeral home, but it's like, it's condos now.
Yeah, it's gotta be.
It's weird. They have a weird overhang where they would like obviously pull the hearse up and like have that thing.
Yeah.
But like the top of that overhang now is like a patio, like a second level patio. You know what I mean? Like, if you see it, you're like, well, something's weird here.
And you live in a place that was like filled with so much sorrow. Yeah, I don't know.
So if people want to find Burnham,
yeah,
what's the easiest way to do that?
If you check out our website, burnhambrewing.com, burnem brewing, not brewery. That'd probably be the easiest. You know, we're on Facebook, Instagram, all the social media. So if you just search Burnham too,
okay,
you can find it. And we have like updated tap lists on there. We have, it's got hours, location,
all that good stuff. Yeah. Now you're mainly in Indiana right now, right?
Yeah, we are actually only in Indiana. Yeah. Hopefully, you know, in the next few years, we're looking at possible expansion plans and stuff to try to get bigger, but we're at capacity. We're maxed out in space in our brewery for brewing. So then we, you know, our beer's pretty much maxed out. We just, this year, we actually just opened a restaurant over in the next town over in La Porte, Indiana.
Okay, what's that called?
So it's called Bare Bones Gastropub. So it's owned by Burnham, but it is a whole different entity that's kind of just focusing more on the food side. So it's Gastropub, which is just a unique, like, fancy word for, like, casual good food.
Nice. Yeah. I like it. I like it.
Yeah, it's got mostly Burnham on tap, but we support other breweries and beer and wine and stuff, too.
So. That's awesome. So the way I wrap up every episode...
Yeah.
Is I ask for a piece of advice. So if you had one piece of advice to give somebody, whether it's wanting to kind of take this leap of faith and start your own business or just being able to survive through catastrophe.
Yeah.
What would that be?
My opinion, my experience, I guess. Life's never going to be kind to you. So you can't let those instances in your life control what's going to, or you can, but if you can control it properly, let it, you know, form who you're going to be.
No, that's awesome.
Not let it.
That makes perfect sense, man.
Yeah.
Because that's exactly it. Like you said, you can let those moments really defeat you, or you can rise above them.
Yeah, it could have went a much worse way than it did.
Absolutely. Well, Steve, thanks for joining me tonight, man.
Dude, thanks so much for having me. This was
awesome.